gets colder. My eyes grow thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Focus on the Facts with Evelyn Pringle. And today I'm going to talk about how the government has taken over our rights as far as our health and pushing things on us and our children especially. Mainly want to talk a lot about the vaccine issue. This has me so concerned because I just never believed that this could come to this in this country. I started investigating vaccines back in, I think it was 2003. At that time, I was working at Dayton Daily News in Ohio, and I would write articles on different topics on the internet at night in my spare time. And I referred to these ladies who I referred to back then as the autism moms, started emailing me and asking me if I would investigate autism in vaccines. And the things that they told me at the time, they gave me a lot of information. For instance, that there was an autism epidemic going on in this country, and they believed it was caused by vaccines, and that it would show up in all the education numbers as far as special education thing because of all the increase in kids that needed special education. And they told me a lot of things, but at that time, I didn't know anything about autism. The only thing I knew about autism was Rain Man. And so I decided that I explained to him that I did this in my spare time and that I really didn't have time to investigate this, that I knew nothing about vaccines or autism. But then I started thinking about it the next few weeks, and I started thinking about some of the things they told me. And I thought, well, my kids got vaccines. I got vaccines. I never knew anyone with autism. You know. But what I didn't know is that they had added so many vaccines to the schedule. I was going by, like, I think I might have got three or four when I was a kid and was way older. We even got them in school. And my kids probably got four or five or something like that. But I didn't have any idea that they were giving all these vaccines. So then I decided I would go on the Internet and just do a couple Google searches because it really kind of interested me that if this was really going on and if our government was causing it. And so the first thing I did was go and look up the education results with the federal government, and I could tell by the statistics in all the different states all across the U.S. that there definitely was an autism epidemic, and I had never heard anything about it. And so then I decided, well, but it's caused by the vaccines? And so I thought, well, go to the CDC and see what they think. And so I went there, and what they had out at that time, their explanation was that there was no epidemic of autism, that this was just happening with better diagnosis. And so by this time, I had seen videos of severely autistic kids and things. And so I tried to figure out in the little town that I grew up in how many kids would have had to have this autism. And I think I came up with like seven, because in the town I grew up in, you went to one school from kindergarten through 12th grade. And we had a what's called a special education class. And that was for kids that, you know, were slightly disabled or maybe had Down syndrome or something like this. They went in to that class. And so then I tried to think, I learned more about the autism, and the things that stuck out in my mind were that many of these kids never are trained. So they go to the bathroom in their pants. Well, back when I was a kid, there weren't Pampers or anything, you know, so this would have been a big to-do in a little school like that. And so I tried to think of, was there any kids that could have been autistic? And it was like, I couldn't think of one. And then I happened to think, well, if they were autistic then, they would still be there now. Are there any adults with autism? And it was like, no. And so then I knew that, you know, by making up that lie, the CDC making up that lie, I knew that they had something to hide. I mean, it was just the worst thing to say, you know. And so anyways, so then I started investigating, and it's so serious how many autistic kids started going to school and stuff, that I was going and checking out the budgets of these schools and how much they were increasing because they had to take care of autistic kids and things. One school had even asked for the school to make the parents bring their own Pampers because the bill for Pampers for these autistic kids was so high. And things like this, so I mean, it was just raising so much money these schools had to put out. And so right away I knew that, well, our government knew about it. I knew they did. They couldn't help but notice it. And so then I decided to start writing on it. And I probably wrote on it, for a couple of years, I bet. And I was just, from that time on, I'm just horrified that kids are getting all these vaccines. And now they just keep adding these vaccines to the schedule. And this country has the highest infant mortality rate of 28 wealthy industrialized countries. But this country also has the highest number of vaccines given to infants. I mean, when I learned of giving infants a shot on the first day of birth for that hepatitis B, I mean, that was unbelievable to me. Why would you inject concoctions into an infant that's just born? You know, and so when I started seeing all the different vaccines they were adding to them schedules, and I could tell that some of them were definitely not needed. For instance, there was one, I think it was for diarrhea of some sort or something. And they gave it in countries that weren't well-developed, that didn't have proper sanitation, water, and sewage and things, you know. That in those countries, they did get this. But no other industrialized country had it on their vaccine schedule because it wasn't needed. So it was just to make money for the vaccine industry and the doctors. And I don't think we also have the most SID deaths in this country, between 2 and 4 months, which coincides with the peak of infant vaccinations. So anyhow, I started to figure out then what would be the money in this vaccine industry. And the CDC says just over 4 million babies are born each year. So every single year you have these mandatory customers, because the government makes it that way, that are going to get all these vaccines that are on the list. So in 1986, children's vaccines only included like 5, I think. But they added I was reading a Gary Null article today, and I put it on my website on Facebook. And he says that today, let's see here. I had figured out in 2010 that girls would get 46 doses for girls and 43 doses of vaccines for boys, according to the CDC schedule. In the 1980s, autism prevalence was only 1 in 10,000. In the 19s, it went to 1 in 2,500, and later 1 in 1,000. Now it is 48 out of a that kids get autism. So one of every 45 children in the U.S. aged 3 to 17 has autism. So that was one of the latest studies that came out. Okay. According to Gary Null's article, the CDC schedule recommends over 25 vaccines by the time a child reaches 2 years old. Now, also, by the time I started reporting on autism, I had been reporting on the corrupt regulatory agencies like the FDA and the CDC. Well, I found out that fit right in here, you know, with the crooked regulatory agencies, the CDC, which decides what vaccines get put on the schedule. And so I went and looked and had found out by then that the heads of the regulatory agencies, like when Bush took office, he appointed the head of the CDC. When Obama took office, that Bush's gal leaves and he appoints somebody. So when during the Bush administration, the CDC was run by this Julie Gerberding, and she would trump up the claim year after year that 36,000 people in the U.S. die of the flu annually, you know, to sell flu vaccines, which is totally ridiculous. That isn't true, because if you look at it, again, this year, the CDC chose the wrong vaccine for flu, so everybody got the flu vaccine. And I said today in my Facebook page, well, where are the dead people from not having any flu vaccine? you know, there is no difference. The flu vaccine does not help. So anyway, and this Gerberding, she also pushed real hard to get Merck's Gardasil vaccine on the schedule. Well, when Obama was set to take office, she left the CDC, and in December 2009, she was named Vice President of Merck's Vaccine Division, the maker of Gardasil. So that's what happens with the people that work in these regulatory agencies. So this year, too, another thing came out, another big revelation about the CDC. I guess it was last year, but a senior scientist at the CDC, Dr. William Thompson, went public with claims that they had omitted data from a study that supported a link between vaccines and autism. And so he went public with that, and, you know, it wasn't mentioned much in the mainstream media, but it was in the alternative media and was, you know, with articles put out and everything. The CDC didn't do anything about that. Now we know that they definitely had proof that it increases autism, and they did nothing about it. And so that really scares me when, you know, we bust these regulatory agents right in the act. I mean, the scientist still works at the CDC. So, you know, and he's willing to testify before Congress, but they don't have him do it. Then there was another case of a scientist there by the name of Paul Thorsen, a Danish researcher. Back when they were doing these studies back in the early 2000s to try to establish that vaccines didn't cause autism, well, they hired him, and he co-authored 36 studies, and two of which were supposedly to disprove an autism vaccine link. So from 2004 to 2010, he laundered more than $1 million in grant money allocated for research and used the funds to make his own personal purchases, including a home in Atlanta. So he's currently in Denmark awaiting extradition to the U.S., supposedly. In a recent editorial, Bobby Kennedy Jr. called into question the nature of the U.S. authorities not apprehending him, and saying, he wrote, "The agency undoubtedly fears that the public trial would expose the pervasive corruption throughout CDC's vaccine division and the fragility of the science supporting CDC's claims about the marisol." So then I moved down, and I wanted to find out, why would they keep selling these vaccines? And the CDC, too, when I was investigating, I found out, I think it was back in 1999, that the FDA and CDC realized that the secret meeting they had with the makers of drugs and vaccines, that the marisol, this mercury-containing substance that they put in vaccines, was causing autism. But they did a study, and yes, they found it out. And some of the autism moms and their people got a hold of the transcript from this meeting, and they knew it so well that there was all kinds of officials there, and like I said, from the drug company and stuff. There was one guy there that even spoke up and said he had just had his first grandbaby, and he was not going to let that baby get injected with the vaccines that they're making all the American parents give to their kids. You know, and another one said that this had been happening. See, they started adding vaccines, really, in the late 80s, okay? So they had been, what they've been doing was adding more vaccines, but also giving vaccines together, like maybe three in one shot. So this, the marisol that would be in one dose of vaccine would get multiplied. And then it got so that when the vaccines, there were so many, they would give probably three of these shots, maybe with three vaccines in it, one doctor's visit. So in that time, the ones that had the marisol in it, that was all being multiplied. And so they were there when they discovered this. Like, one of them said, you know, it's not going to make, people are going to know that we were laying down, you know, we weren't watching things. It wouldn't take a mathematician to figure this out, you know. And so then, they didn't tell Americans then. And they didn't. They suggested taking the marisol out of vaccines, but they didn't get right on it. And when they finally did tell the vaccine makers to get on it, they just putzied around and did it. I mean, I think I checked in 2005, and I could still find vaccines that had full doses of marisol in them. Because then they said that Well, they didn't want to waste all the vaccines they had made already, so those were out in doctor's offices and stuff. They should go ahead and use those. You know? So then now it's terrible because now they're forcing parents to give all these vaccines in some states, like California is the one I'm most familiar with, and they don't have any exemptions. I mean, even if they had a kid that got sick from vaccines, that's not going to stop them from vaccinating those kids in that family. And this is just, I think, most corrupt corporate takeover of consumers in this country today to make parents do something medically that will harm their children and force them to do it, or they can't go to school. And so now out there, I was just reading an article by Mike Adams, and he said that they supposedly took Tamiflu out of all the vaccines, but that isn't necessarily true. I mean, I went and looked at one time. I was thinking my grandson maybe should get a Pertussis, I think it was vaccine or something, and it was still in that. This was for older kids or something. So it's still in the flu vaccine, and they will not remove it. And I'm saying that Tamiflu not only harms kids, but they also tell them to give it to pregnant women and babies. Babies that, you know, are very young. And I think it says right on the vaccine insert that this has not been tested as safe with babies. But anyhow, they're doing that. And then Mike Adams was writing today that now the Department of Health and Social Services person or whatever put out a letter that doctors ought to go ahead and give these babies the vaccine, the flu vaccines that have Tamiflu in them, because they're running short on ones that don't have it in them. Now, this is, they're giving it to pregnant women, which means the mercury goes into pregnant women from the shots, and the baby is affected by it. And then they're giving the flu shots when they're little. So they're giving them full dose of the mercury to them babies and pregnant women, and it is just awful. And I think some of the thing I think about Tamiflu is I don't think that your body usually will get rid of metals on your own functioning. I think when babies are so little or something that their bodies don't get rid of metals, heavy metals. And I think that goes the same for adults. You know, that I've seen study after study that says that flu vaccine does not help elderly people. That not at all, but yet we're seeing so much more dementia and Alzheimer's and these kind of illnesses that I have to believe that when we're older, where I'm there, that our bodies don't get rid of metal as easily either. And mercury's not the only thing in them. I mean, there's aluminum, there's formaldehyde, there's the thing that they really kind of hid when a doctor, pharma quack, was testifying to pass that law in California. I don't think he told people that it could be that some of these vaccines have aborted fetal tissue in them. Now, I think this is atrocious, that you don't let people know what they're putting into infants or anybody. I mean, I don't know. I think many people wouldn't want that. So anyways, so back to the autism business. Once I started writing about that and I saw more and more how many of these kids were being hurt like this, I mean, I couldn't believe how much care these children need. And some of them never even answer to their own name. So you can't go any place with them. You got to stay right at home. If you do go places, they get upset if anything's different. And now they're getting older. And that was what was so scary to me, too, back in the 2000s when I was writing about this. I mean, I would have parents write me that then the drug companies were taking advantage of this because then they were starting to sell their psych drugs to them, okay, talking parents into thinking they'd take these psych drugs. And so I had this one guy, this minister and his wife, he wrote me, and he said that he was so worried because he had two autistic kids, and he didn't know what they were going to do because him and his wife were getting older, but these kids were getting bigger. They were like in junior high now or something. And it was worrisome because sometimes the boy would get crabby and stuff, and he didn't know what they were going to do, but his big concern was, is who's going to take care of my kids after we die, and we're not here to do it. And so then he told me that they got him to take Risperdal, the antipsychotic Risperdal, and he got so out of whack on that he started chasing his father, and his father ran out the door, and the kid caught up to him before he got to the neighbor's house and bit his finger off. Now, these are the kind of things that people were having, you know, to deal with this illness. And so now it used to be that, I said, when these kids got to be older, that, you know, that the U.S. would have to admit that they knew they were doing this, because where are the kids? There's no services for adults with autism. And now they're running into this problem. And now I see that more and more services to autistic kids are being cut, just like everything else. You know, corporations take over this country, and just like everything else, it's going bankrupt, and so they're cutting out all the services for us lowly people. But anyhow, now it's up to what, 1 in 48 kids have autism. Now that is going from 1 in 10,000 in the '80s. Now what other illness have we ever had in this country where the government wouldn't find out what is causing this? I mean, I think by now I'm in agreement, you know, that our government is run by totally corrupt, evil people, and that they're doing this on purpose. But it's like, in the meantime, I don't know what these families are doing, you know. But how they get the people to do this, like, then I started looking into how much are the doctors making off of this deal. And what did I see? I'm trying to look here on my notes. I know what it was, but I wanted to say who got this information. J.D. Hadley, from co-founder of Age of Autism. And he said he asked doctors, when you'd see them, pediatricians, that how much of their income comes from giving vaccines. He said he could hardly believe it. Between 50 and 80% comes from giving vaccines. And so that's a big amount of money that they get those doctors depending on. And of course they're going to come out and want, you know, people to get more vaccines. But this is definitely a man-made epidemic. But they knew it when they were doing it. Okay. So then we have these doctors that go around saying how bad we need all these vaccines and stuff. And one of those was on a CDC advisory board back in the 90s. And it comes out that he has a vaccine out that, let's see, let me look at this. Dan Olmsted and Mark Blaxel did an article on him, and he said that this Paul Offit, well, they call him Dr. Profit, more appropriate, he earned approximately $10 million in income from Erotitech royalties through 2009 and stands to earn a total of between $13 and $35 million over the life of the vaccine. And then it goes on how much that vaccine sells for. Well, it was close to $2,000 for three dose series. So if you multiply that by the CDC's calculation of $4 million, 4 million babies born each year, the sales would come to over $800 million in this country alone. Excuse me. So this Offit guy, he goes out and he's always shilling for vaccine makers, and he was telling, back when the swine flu was out, he was telling parents to give their babies two regular flu shots and two swine flu shots. And that they have the mercury in it. And back then, when he did this, you know, they wouldn't tell you that they had the mercury in it. You know, the Milwaukee Journal did a big report on it, and they noticed that he was saying that to give these babies these mercury. And they said that a 22-pound baby getting the flu shot would get more than 25 times the amount of mercury considered safe with one shot. And he told them to give four. So, and then it said that year when he was telling them to do that, the doctors would charge between 25 to 75 for a flu shot. And so I figured it out. It said that, it said, well, if doctors threw in both seasonal flu shots for one fee of $75, the total amount made from vaccinating 4 million babies would be $300 million. I'm just making off one shot. And this prophet also has a $1.5 million research chair at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, funded by Merck. So then I figured out why all these doctors things want to do these shots. And, of course, the more that you add on to them, the more money they're going to make. So, I mean, how easy is that appointment to keep having babies come in to get shots, you know? And so back in, I wanted to go down here and check something else. Well, now that California is mandating vaccines for 10 bucks schools, and I think that they went down to, child care, you know, the child care agencies, too, I think. And now they're making it so the people that work in them places have to get shots, too, even as adults. And I wish they would have took a little more time and went into that, because they really said how the vaccine market for adults is getting high. You know, that they're going to make a lot of money on, because now they're pushing all this. Now, I never got any vaccines as an adult. I think I got two flu vaccines, and that's because this is before I learned about this, and they were given to me. I think at Dayton Daily News they provided them, and another place did. So that's the only two I ever got. I didn't get any other vaccines for nothing. Now they're saying that different employees and parents and workers in hospitals and stuff have to get a bunch of vaccines. And I think they're doing it, too, in colleges and things. And I think I just can't believe that we're living in a country where the government can force you to do something that you know is going to probably hurt that child. I was glad that I learned about vaccines, because I did just in time in one case. My daughter had a baby when she was older, you know. She was 38, and I wasn't expecting another grandbaby. And I had learned about all this, and then I learned how hard they push you to give these vaccines and stuff. And so I actually quit my job when she was pregnant and moved up here from Dayton, moved to Green Bay from Dayton, to be with her. And I said I wasn't going to let him get any vaccines. And I told my friends down there where I worked that I was going to go into that delivery room to make sure they didn't try to give any, and to tell any nurse that tried to get by me with a needle in her hands, she better think real hard how much she valued her time on earth before she tried to get by me and give my grandbaby a hepatitis B vaccine. I mean, my God, that vaccine, hepatitis B comes from anal sex or sharing needles with addicts. Now, there is no sense in giving that vaccine on the first day of birth. And right when they started doing that, that is really when the autism rate started to go up so much. That right in the late 80s, it started, and that's when they started adding all these too. So, anyhow, I saved him from that. So I was very happy. And yes, the doctors do fight that. They disagree with you on not giving them vaccines. So anyways, I wished I would have went and found out how much actually right now the vaccine makers themselves are making. I mean, I don't know, but another thing that has really hurt this problem is that in 1986 they passed a law in Congress that made it so you couldn't sue vaccine makers. They were griping that, oh, they were going to quit making vaccines, you know, they weren't making enough money, and so because they'd get sued if babies got hurt and stuff. And so they made it so that no matter what happens to you after you get a vaccine, you cannot sue the doctor or the vaccine maker or anything. You have to go through this system in the U.S. government, the Federal Vaccine Court. And that thing is, it's not run like a regular trial. It's absolutely terrible. And they have so much input into that, and all these things that happen to people. I mean, we talk about autism a lot because that's the most tragic incident that, you know, was right out there, and we can see the epidemic. And again, I can't believe this government, if they want to keep saying vaccines didn't do this, I can't believe that they haven't put the money in to find out what is doing this to our children. I don't know what they did when polio was around, but they sure as heck got the bottom of that. And so now to do nothing, to say, well, if it isn't vaccines, then we have to find out what it is. But there's so many other things that people get harmed from vaccines. I mean, I said, I'd like to tell the story where my grandson has never gotten any vaccines. He's 10 years old. He's only been sick in bed one day in his life. Now, all over the place, these kids that get all these vaccines are always sick. I mean, we have illnesses like diabetes, asthma, things that I never heard of in kids when I went to school. I can remember in the whole school there was one case of diabetes and one case of asthma. Now kids get this kind of stuff all the time, and they get ear infections, and they get, well, seizures and things like this. And it's when I was working at Dayton Daily News, I was older, and we had some young women working there, you know, and they had little kids. And they were always taken off, having to go to the doctor with their kid. Their kid was sick with something. Finally, I told my one friend, I don't even believe them anymore. I said, they go to the doctor more than one year for one kid that I went with both my kids their whole life. I said, I think they're just lying to get out of work. But then I learned about these vaccines. And, yeah, the things they're going for are things caused by this. And, you know, and like allergies and things like that that affect kids. And seizures is really bad. I mean, and then there's many deaths. I mean, I think somebody told me that the CDC took the chart down that tells you how many people are hurt by vaccines and what happened to them and stuff. But when I was looking there for a while, there are a lot of deaths with the flu vaccine. I mean, you never see that, you know, told on TV or in our mainstream media. We never hear about none of this. But there's a lot of people that die from the flu vaccine. And so when you see, like, and they put in vaccines, they put peanut oil in it, and there's something. I never knew anybody that was allergic to peanuts. But you hear about that a lot now. And then these SIDS deaths for years, always blaming it on parents, of some sort of parents blaming it on themselves. Well, it coincides too easily with the vaccines. So, in May this year, a six-month-old boy, Bentley Nethery, died while sleeping on his mother's chest in the middle of the day, 5 days after receiving 13 vaccines in one doctor's visit. I mean, this kind of stuff that's... And when you go to that vaccine court, oh, my God, if you even get them to take a case, you'll be there 10 years. And in the meantime, there you are, trying to tend to your child, trying to tend to taking care of it, and helping to get better or caretaking it, and you got to be tied up with this for all these years. So I got real upset about this vaccines a few years back. It must have been like 2010 or something. That there was a case where a girl was vaccinated, and she took it through the vaccine court and then into regular court and then took it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I went and looked, and a whole bunch of these doctors' groups, I call them pharma front groups, had submitted briefs on the side to win against one lone family. And I just thought this was horrible. And so then I went and looked, and like, for instance, one brief was filed by the American Academy of Pediatrics, and joined by 21 partnering health organizations, it says. Well, I went and looked, and they said that they supported routine vaccination of children against a host of vaccine-preventable diseases. Well, when I went and looked, I went through the drug company records for all those parent organizations, or those doctors' organizations, and they all got tons of money from the drug companies. And so I went down and I went and got it. Well, Wyeth was the drug company that was getting sued. So I went down and I found all their grant reports that they have to put out anymore, drug companies, showing with these front groups how much money they give them. And I found millions of dollars pouring into that Academy of Pediatrics. For instance, in 2009, Pfizer, because right about then, Pfizer bought Wyeth, so they were together then. Pfizer had given two grants to the Academy, totaling $56,000. Wyeth had donated $630,000 to the group in 2009, and Wyeth gave the Academy $345,919 in 2008, and it received $524,080 from Pfizer in the first two quarters of 2010. So then these front groups that I showed, I investigated those for the drug companies because in their other areas, like the psychiatric drugs, they have all these front groups out there pushing drugs for them, and they give so much money to those groups. What I found out, these front groups, the drug companies will give them money, then they'll turn around and donate some money to some other organization or whatever, and so the money flows through them and into the pockets of others. For instance, I found out in 2009 that Academy had presented the President's Certificate for Outstanding Service to Dr. Paul Offit. And he got, let's see, what did he get for that? Let me see. I'm not sure what he did, but anyhow, they turn around then and they give prizes and award these shills in the doctors, you know, money for being the one that goes and pushes these drugs or vaccines around. So, and oh, that was the same year that he put out that children aged 6 months to 9 years who had never received a flu vaccine was recommended they get two doses of both the pig flu vaccine and the seasonal flu vaccine. So at 6 months old, that'd be four shots full of mercury. And for the longest time, you know, they said that mercury was out of all vaccines, and people believed that, you know, and that was that time I found that article in the Milwaukee Journal where they had went and found out that no, it didn't, but that they had asked the people standing in line to get flu shots if they thought that mercury was taken out of that vaccine, and they all thought it did. So, okay, then we had another brief in that lawsuit filed by the American Academy of Family Physicians. Now, they got more than $5 million from Pfizer in 2009 and close to three-quarters of a billion from Wyeth. And then the next year, Wyeth gave them $1,300,000 and some. Another person or another group that signed off on that brief was the American Medical Association. These places get all kinds of money, and they got all kinds of money from almost $1 million there, $5,000 there, $500,000 there. Oh, and then they had these foundations, like National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. Wyeth gave them $55,000, and Pfizer gave them $45,000. So I just go down here, and I just see how much money is being made, you know, and the prices of these vaccines are so expensive now. Like that vaccine that Julie Gerberding that went on to be the president of Merck's vaccine division, when she was pushing that, it was like $300 or $400 for, excuse me, for the vaccines for Gardasil. Well, my God, then you multiply that by 4 million a year. That's one vaccine. How much they're making off of these, and they have no risk whatsoever because if anybody gets sick or anything, nothing's going to happen to them. So I'm really wondering, about what's going to happen when they're mandating more and more people get vaccines, and adults. I mean, they've done it with the medical profession with the flu vaccines, and I always tell people, this is my best evidence. When the nurses and doctors won't take that vaccine, what does that tell you about it, if it's safe and effective? My God, they're the nurses and doctors. They should be thinking, yeah, I want to get that. I mean, I'm around all these sick people. They should be the first ones signing up. but they won't go get it. They don't want it. And nurses have sued, have quit their jobs, everything, because they're not. Now, I just seen an article the other day where they said that there's a bill in Congress. I don't think it's fully passed yet. Well, it could be. I don't know. But that they're going to force veterans to get a bunch of vaccines. And if they don't, they won't get services for their ailments and their sicknesses through the VA. So forcing people to enter into this profiteering business, the vaccine industry, and forcing more and more people to get these shots. And what I was talking about before was about the elderly, that I don't think they can handle these shots is good. And there's studies after studies come out that show that they do not work on the elderly. One time I looked up a study where they had studied the elderly for 30 years, and the whole time they had been improving vaccine rates for the flu vaccines, improving till it was pretty high after 30 years. They found out there was not one less death of an elderly person because they got a flu vaccine. So what does that tell you? That it didn't do anything. And this is what's so scary about this, because now that we know more and more about how damaging the vaccines can be, they're forcing more and more people to get them. Now, I can see where they'll try to do that to elderly people and say, well, you're not going to be able to have your Medicare or something if you won't do this, you know. And they're pushing not only vaccines but all kinds of medical treatments on us. I talked about last week how now they've got it in some states where kids can go and get on psychiatric drugs, get mental health treatment without their parents knowing about it. Now, those drugs cause so many side effects, and there is seldom anybody that goes to get on one of them drugs that they didn't put them on more than one. And they might all have caused suicide. So you're giving them all to the kid. You're not telling the parents. So if they get these side effects and they start acting out and they start, the parents don't even know they're on this. So how are they going to know that it's not the child going crazy or something? They get this akathisia where they can't sit still and they just have to move constantly and they can't talk right and they can't concentrate. The parents aren't even going to know they're on these drugs that are causing this. Another, it was up in Oregon or Washington. Girls as young as 11 can go and get an IUD contraceptive device inserted in them without their parents knowing it. Now, this too, in my opinion, is horrible. That how can the government step in and pass laws that force parents to provide some kind of treatment to their kids, even when the parent, they know the parent wouldn't want it because they believe it's harmful? And I'm sure that I saw too where kids are being given vaccines and their parents aren't knowing it. That's horrible. And like this Gardasil vaccine that cost so much money, like I said, when it came out, I stopped and thought, when did I ever know of a girl that got cervical cancer in her teens? I never knew of any. But all of a sudden, they want to give this to girls, and they were saying to give it to them down in Texas. They were trying to pass it so they'd give it to 9-year-old girls. And then one of the authors on the study came out on it and said that the best they could even say was it didn't even work that good, but it didn't cover all the strains anyhow, and it would only last at best, they could guess, 5 years. So you're going to give it to a 9-year-old, and it's only going to last until they're 14 or 15? I mean, this is how insane it is. And then they turned around, and they said to give it to boys for genital warts. And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, did you ever hear of a boy that had genital warts? And no, I never have. But I'll tell you a little sick bit here. What I found out, I first heard about genital warts just lately when I was reviewing, I was watching this video of these children that were over in England that were used by pedophiles in their schools. And they were talking about the pedophiles taking them to school one day a week on Wednesdays and have sex all day long. They brought up, when the interview asked them, you know, about the bodies of the teachers and stuff that did this to them, they had warts. And so it was like, oh, So that's the deal. You know, the adults, the pedophiles, are spreading this to boys. So anyway, these goofy vaccines, it's like, I've never heard of a teenager having cervical cancer. And plus, with pap tests, they take care of that. You know, pap tests find it right away. You go and have your pap test early. But this is another thing that they just want to push on people for the profit. But that Gardasil vaccine has caused a lot of deaths in girls and a lot of injuries and paralysis, serious, serious problems. And even that, when you go and get that stuff, they didn't at first. I don't know if they do anymore, but you could just leave right after you got it. And a lot of people got seizures from it. And it messes up, this vaccine messes up the reproductive system often. And so pushing these kind of vaccines on our children that go against what we believe in, you know, it just makes no sense to me. And I don't know, I thought that it would come to blows over this battle, because I can't picture the people I got close to when I was investigating autism vaccines. I can't picture those people allowing them to inject them toxins into their infants. I can't see it. So, and then now doing it with daycare centers and things too. So they're going to force the adults to get all these vaccines. And I never got any of them, so why haven't I got sick from anything, being I never got any since I was a kid? You don't get sick. When you're a kid, if you get some of these diseases, they're mild. You build up a lifelong immunity to them. Now they're trying to say that the vaccines wore off once you've had them so long. Well, I don't know about that, but I think that they're using every tactic they can to try to force people to get these vaccines. And the more, the better. I mean, this bit now of blackmailing our veterans by telling them they have to get these vaccines or they can't get health care through the veteran system is absolutely outrageous. And, you know, I don't know how to stop any of this going on. The corporations have taken over this country. They run it. Every regulatory agency has heads of corporations at the top of them appointed by the president comes in. And they just come and go back and forth. And the same goes, you know, with our FDA. I mean, look at Monsanto's in there. All of them are in there that are giving us these horrible products. And they're forcing us to take them more and more, finding ways. But I don't know what we're going to do, because this is going too far. This is, I think there was other states besides California, too, that this was up, and I'm sure some of them did pass it and were doing that. But I think more are trying to pass it. I mean, we have some pretty strong experts and things going around. Bobby Kennedy Jr. has been a really big help. He's went and testified at different state hearings and stuff against this. But I just don't know how we're going to stop this. I mean, look at the food that we're eating. All these things that are harmful to us are in food, and forcing Monsanto's products on us. I mean, Monsanto's products are in everything. And a lot of other countries have banned them altogether. And they should be. But again, more and more, we find out that they knew that their products caused cancer and everything else years ago, in the mid-70s, I think. And they just go ahead and hide it and keep pushing these foods on us. And then this another thing is, like, look at the health crisis they're causing by allowing, say, all the food producers to give cows and animals antibiotics. I mean, we're to the phase now that we don't have antibiotics for some of these superbugs. We're all becoming immune to antibiotics. And I was really mad when I found out that the FDA had been letting this go on for years, because I had always been real careful about antibiotics. I didn't take them unless I absolutely had to, which only probably was once in 5 or 10 years, okay? So then I think I did so good so that I would always respond if I needed them, and then I find out I've been being fed them. And to tell you the truth, I don't even like the taste of half the food I eat anymore. I've heard so much horrible stuff that they're doing. I mean, when they came out and they said that, it came out that they were letting that slime be put in ground beef, I was horrified. I mean, for years, I didn't, I didn't eat at fast food places, but for years then, I'd go sometimes with my friends and go like to McDonald's or one of the places, you know, get a hamburger or something, and I'd think, this doesn't taste that good. And I'd look at everybody else eating it and be like, oh, it's in your head. Look at everybody else is eating it. I wasn't wrong. It didn't taste good, and there's good reason why it didn't taste good. Now, I don't trust anything to eat. You know, and yeah, you can buy organic, but look at how expensive it is. You know, I mean, we are being shut down totally in every area in this country. I mean, we go into now, like, all these vaccines and stuff. If people can't afford them, they're pulled out of Medicaid or something. The taxpayers will pay for it one way or the other. You know, and this is so totally unfair, especially when they're useless vaccines that don't help. And the same thing now, you know, the country is so unequal that, you know, middle class are now making like what they made in like 1970 in comparison to the, and look at the groceries, have doubled, tripled since then. But we don't make wages to cover this. And so the corporations have taken over this country, and with the drugs, I mean, they charge such outrageous prices for those that it already is where insurance companies or Medicaid won't pay for it. There are people dying in this country because they can't afford to get drugs for their illness. I was reading this one article where this whole family went broke trying to buy this drug. It might have been hepatitis. I'm not sure what it was, but a serious disease. And they would not cover it because it was so expensive. The woman's sister and her husband ended up losing their house and everything because they mortgaged it trying to buy more drugs to keep her alive. And she finally died anyhow. But they lost everything, that family, from one medical sickness. And they charge so much for these drugs and stuff, and this old garbage about, oh, because of the research and all this, it costs so much. That's total BS. That it does not. And they sit there, and you look at the salaries for these drug company people, and okay, maybe it's only 20 or 30 or 40 million a year they get. But they've been pulling this where they've been giving stock options to their employees. And then when they up the prices on all these drugs, they can buy stock and make all this money by doing it that way. So this one drug company, I think it was, I'm not going to say which one it is, because I'm not positive. But anyway, made $600 and some million in 1 year from those stock options, from jacking these prices up on these devices and drugs and things, making us pay it. And what they're doing, they're bankrupting this country. Every industry is bankrupting. I mean, the war profiteering, well, of course. But these drug companies are, too. I mean, all these people that are on Medicare and Medicaid, and they get all these doctors to diagnose all of these kids and everybody mentally ill and get them on these expensive psych drugs, which when I was keeping track, oh, a few years ago, I was looking up, and one antipsychotic drug would cost over $1,000 a month, taking one pill a day. And then they're always on probably other psychiatric drugs. Maybe they're on the speed or seizure drugs, and they sell antidepressants, and all those prices are sky high. So then they get the doctors, you know, they're disabled because they're mentally ill. So they're on Medicaid, and they charge those high prices, and they say that the disability programs are breaking this country. That's not true. What's breaking the countries is the medical services and what they are charging these people that are disabled. It's not that lousy little bit of money that you give these people to live on that are disabled. It's these drugs and the whole medical field and devices. Same thing. Years ago when I investigated that, I mean, we had doctors putting stents and things in people, like this one put 9 stents in one guy that didn't need any at one hospital, and, you know, they would trick the doctors into this field. But in one case, this back device, they got surgeons to investigate in this company made screws for this device. So they would get profits not only from inserting this device, but from everyone that was sold, because they owned the screws that went into it. I mean, this bizarre way that the pharmaceutical companies have involved the medical profession in all these schemes, it's profiteering in every industry, profiteering. So this is what's bankrupting this company. I mean, in these wars, well, I don't even want to get into that because it's the most horrible thing. The U.S. is causing a worldwide holocaust and bankrupting this company, but then all these other corporations are bankrupting it too. I mean, look at, for instance, there are places in this United States where people have been living without water for years. No, we don't hear that in mainstream media. No, they don't tell us things like that. This is unbelievable. And this country is so taken over by these corporations that we don't have a government. I mean, that sickening lot in Washington is just in the pocket of every industry. And now, look at how they can do, these companies can give whatever much money they want to these politicians. What you and I have to say or think doesn't matter a bit. And then the elections are rigged. I mean, electronic voting systems are rigged. They put in office whoever they want. I mean, my God, this time they think they're going to run a convicted war criminal's brother and Hillary Clinton, that's been running a war profiteering scheme with her slush foundation and her husband ever since he left office. And these people are so sick that they're in the government and they take all this money and they just destroy countries. I mean, we are killing people off in countries like Syria and Yemen and Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, killing them off and just leaving them there, and then blockading aid supplies and stuff and leaving them there to starve. Now, if you go online and you go and look up, you'll see this is true. It's right there. The Human Rights Watch puts out a report about every other month how we're killing people in all these countries. We don't do nothing. Nobody, it seems, can do anything to us to stop any of this. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting pretty scared. This country is really near its end because the kind of things that it's doing to us citizens right here. I mean, look at the militarized police. I'm scared of the police anymore. I'm scared of them. I mean, people are getting shot for jaywalking, for having a toy gun. They come with SWAT teams into your house, like over in Michigan, when a woman supposedly didn't have electricity. They send a SWAT team of six cops in there with their guns drawn, busting in the door. And there's a little four-year-old girl there, and they had a dog. And naturally, the dog surprised these guys all uniformed up, barging the door, goes to jump at the dog. The cop goes to shoot the dog and ends up killing the little girl, 4 years old. All because she didn't have electricity on? This is getting so insane, people, that I don't know. Some days I think I'm going to wake up and I'm dreaming. I really do. It's just so unbelievable what this country is coming to. But I don't know if... Maybe next time, if I don't have a guest, I'll open up for phone calls, because I really would love to hear what people out there that maybe who I'm not even familiar with feel about all this, how they think this is looking, you know. And I've been reading a lot lately, studying up on mind control by the government and stuff, and this has happened. This has happened since the 1940s it started, and it is just horrifying what they have done. I used to think that people just didn't care. You know, my family members and friends. No, it's not that. They've been mind-controlled by this TV and all the other ways they're doing it, and that's what happened. And myself, I didn't watch TV for 20 years, so I didn't see this all coming on. And, like, for instance, the filthy shows on TV that are on for little kids to see. All the Disney cartoons and movies have been perverted since day one to pervert our little kids. And the kind of things they do on regular time on TV right now, I can't believe. I cannot believe. As a little kid, I would ask my parents all the time when we were watching TV, oh, what's that? What are they doing? I could not even begin to. So, I don't know. It's scary to me. It's really scary. And I think the next time, if I don't have a guest, I'm going to have a call in so I can get your... Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope you learn something, and I hope more of you will join in and stop this takeover of our country.
Try it.